Glad to, whoa. Try this one. Is this too loud? Okay, that works all right for right now. Also remind you or let you know that the box for school supplies through Sharing God's Love is now in the Narthex. So you feel free to bring school supplies that would be donated through Sharing God's Love and place them in that box. It's right under the TV monitor on the wall, so that tells you where it is. There is a small error in the bulletin on our last hymn. In your bulletin you'll see 546, but the hymn is 545. Guess what? If you go to 546, you will see 545 right there. So it's not a big problem. And then I have to tell you, you think church is associated with miracles. Well, one has happened today. Sarah came to me and said, I don't have anything to say. So, we get to skip that part. You think she should come up and say something anyway? No, I don't. No. All right. Okay, so, having said that, we are happy today to be celebrating the baptism. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot before we get to there. We have a special group of guests with us that I said I was going to recognize, and I forgot about it till right at this moment. We have some folks from Prince of Peace Lutheran in Largo, Florida. And one of the pastors is here, Adam, I can't remember your last name. Buff, okay, Adam Buff. Stand up and tell us what you're doing. Great. Thank you so much. I've tried to remember how many years y'all have been coming. It's been a while. Yeah. And you get to spend the night here in our youth rooms on the futons and then head on up to Luther Rock and sometimes Lutheridge even for this next week. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Now we're happy to celebrate the baptism of Derek Matthew Balknight, who is the son of Adam and Samantha Balknight, and his sponsors are Jeremy and Sarah Lodeholt. I've heard of them before. Anyway, I'll ask Derek if he would bring his parents and his sponsors forward at this time. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ?
I do.
As you bring Derek Matthew to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people. Bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. Teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Derek Matthew grow in the Christian faith and life? People of God, do you promise to support Derek Matthew and pray for him in his new life in Christ?
We do.
I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Congregation, please rise. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Derek Matthew Bauknight, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray.
We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Derek Matthew with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Derek Matthew, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world.
Great. Well, congratulations, Derek. You did great.
And I think I'm going to get graham crackers for every member of this church. When they start causing me problems, you can just eat a graham cracker. That's a great plan. But congratulations. We're glad to welcome you as our newest member here at Redeemer and our newest newest family member of God. How cool that is, and welcome.
Okay.
Baptism certificate. Sarah, you can blow the candle out now. I've already given you the box and everything. So great. Thank you. Congratulations.
Save.
us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Would the children please come forward? Good morning, guys. I brought this. A watering can? I'm glad you knew what it is. What do I do with this? And what would happen if I didn't do this? It would kill the plants. So what I do is put vinegar in here and put it on the plants, right? Water? Vinegar's not going to work.
No.
You sure?
It'll probably kill it.
And it
vinegar will probably kill it.
But what does water do?
It will make the plant grow.
It makes it grow. Well, do you think I can put enough water on with just this? Or do you think water has to come from somewhere else?
You put the water in a sink, fill it up with the water, and then you spray it on the plant.
I'm just saying, just about every plant I know needs more than this bit of water. Every plant I know gets watered by God. Do you know when that would be? You think God comes down and gets my watering bucket and starts watering plants?
No, I think he does it in a different way.
How does he do it?
I don't know. I just think he does it in his own way. I think he does it in his own
God
way.
Okay, God is over the water. Well, how do we get the water?
He can make anything out of thin air.
He can make anything out of thin air. Yeah, he can. And in fact, the water comes from thin air. Have you ever heard of it raining?
Yeah.
Oh, might that be a way God's watering the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And all the plants I have right outside of the church office, I have a bunch of flowers and stuff, and I go out every now and then and water them. But if it was just dependent on me, they wouldn't be doing very well.
What do you mean?
Because I don't always remember to go out and water them. But it rains, and they get watered that way, don't they? Yeah. God waters all the earth. Today, in our lessons, you're going to hear it all over the lessons. One lesson will talk about rain and snowfall coming on the earth. Another lesson talks about seeds. What if I planted some seeds in the ground and never watered them? What would happen?
They would just stay.
They'd just stay there, wouldn't they? They wouldn't grow. But the water makes...
And they would shrink and die.
That's right. The water makes them grow. Well, so it's all over our lessons today that God provides the water that we need. Without water, we wouldn't be able to do well. You wouldn't be able to eat your vegetables or spinach or anything. Yeah. So anyway, the reason I want to tell you that too is that's an important point. To remember that God takes care of us. But we had a special kind of watering right here today. Did you see it? We watered Derek.
You named your plant?
No, the little baby that we baptized just a few minutes ago. His name is Derek, and we put water on his head. And this is God's way of watering Derek to help his faith grow, to nurture him in love, to claim him as God's very own child. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So as the water makes plants grow, this water is important for Derek to grow in faith. That's important. So, please remember today that God always takes care of us and we have the water that we need, but also that Derek was watered just like you were watered with the water of God's love and grace.
So I was watered here?
Not here. Okay. Yep. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for providing all that we need, but especially today the gift of water. May your gift of water nourish our bodies, and may the gift of baptism water nourish our souls. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Some of you know that I've had the opportunity over the past couple of months to attend a Major League Baseball game and a few minor league games, including the one we tried to go to just last night but got rained out of there. But as you see, in spite of all that, I have to admit to you that I'm not really much of a baseball fan. So even though I've shared this little thing with you before, I couldn't resist sharing it again today. This is a simple explanation of the game of baseball. This is a game played by two teams, one in and the other out. The one that's in sends players out one at a time to see if they can get in before they get out. If they get out before they get in, they come in, but it doesn't count. If they get in before they get out, it does count. Then the ones out get three out. I'm sorry, when the ones out get three outs from the ones in before they get in without being out, the team that's out comes in and the team that's in goes out to get those going in out before they get in without being out. When both teams have been in and out nine times, the game is over. The team with the most in, without being out, before coming in, wins unless the ones in are equal. In which case, the last ones in go out to get the ones in out before they get in without being out. The game will end when each team has the same number of ins out, but one team has more in without being out before coming in. Now, you can think about that this afternoon when some baseball game is on TV. The parable that Jesus tells in our gospel lesson today is confusing just like that. We understand the words Jesus uses, and it all seems to make some sense until the more we think about it, the less we seem to understand. There are lots of ways of approaching this parable and trying to discover what it means, and I have preached many of them over the years. A common way to draw meaning from this parable is to explore the different kinds of soils that are mentioned. What kinds of hearts are out there to receive God's word, we ponder, seeing this as a way to understand the variety of responses that people have to the word of God in our world. And then, of course, that leads to the most important question from that approach. What kind of soil am I? How do I bear harvest for God? Well, another approach to this parable is to talk about the seed. What is this seed that the sower sows? Is it the Word of God? Is it Jesus himself? Is it meant to be God's love or grace, which he spreads out so liberally and generously? And then what does it mean that God would toss out his love and his grace this way? And isn't that good news for us? Believe it or not, some even go at this parable through the farming techniques of the sower. Some scholars have said it was common for farmers to sow first and then plow it under, and that in a technique like this, some seed would go to those bad soils by accident. And other people say that whole approach is hogwash, that seed was far too valuable to waste like that. And still others focus on the harvest at the end of the parable, pondering whether or not the yield was average or astounding, and then asking what it might all mean about God in the end of time. Oh, it goes on and on, the problems this parable raises. Indeed, this parable, more than many others, seems to invite us to pick it apart, to look for nuance and meaning in every little part of it. But I'm not at all convinced that that's what Jesus wanted us to do with it. Let me say that again. I'm not convinced that Jesus meant us to pick this apart the way we usually do. You see, I think when we take the parable apart that way, we're trying most of all to find our place in the parable. But I don't think Jesus told this parable to talk about us. I think Jesus told this parable to talk about God. I don't think Jesus told this parable to describe us. I think Jesus told it to describe God. So of all the questions to ask of this parable, I believe this is the most important one. What does this little story tell us about God? And of course, that brings us right back to the sower. We need to see that God sows among us liberally. God's gifts, God's word, God's love, God's grace, it isn't reserved just for those who bear fruit for him. No. These things are given to us all. It's the very nature and heart of God to give to everyone, to all. Sure, we receive it different ways and we do different things with God's gifts, but still, God gives. That's who God is, and all are included in what God is doing. We're all included in God's love. We also need to see that God is looking toward the harvest. When God does something, it brings about results. God's word doesn't go forth empty. It goes forth in power, and our world is changed. And finally, if we are created in the image of God, maybe we too are supposed to be sowers. Maybe having received what God has sown in our hearts, we are called to share the story. Maybe we're called to live out that kind of love and grace with the same reckless generosity. Maybe as God gives himself to us in Jesus, in love, so we should give ourselves away to others in love as well. Maybe all this could mean that God sows his seed in us, and we are called to receive it, and we are called to share it. Many of us probably know the prayer attributed to St. Francis, but perhaps you've never noticed how much being a sower is part of it. In fact, it's the action word of the prayer. Where there is hatred, it says, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us sow pardon. Where there is discord, let us sow union. Where there is doubt, let us sow faith. Where there is despair, let us sow hope. Where there is darkness, let us sow light. Where there is sadness, let us sow joy. That's who we are called to be. That's how we are supposed to live as God's people. That's being the image of God. Oh, people of God, right now, we're in. But now, we have a new call. The call is to go out. Go forth and sow what you have received. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of the covenant, thank you for your promise that is made known to us through your word. Your word goes out and it does not return empty. We give you special thanks today for the gift of baptism as we have watered Derek. Help us plant what you desire among all your people. Through baptism, As we grow in you in unity, faith, witness, and mission, Lord, in your mercy. God of the earth, we thank you for the water you give to us. We pray for all people, plants and animals, suffering from drought and thirst during this hot weather. Send your rain to the places that need it, as you send your renewal to all creation. Lord, in your mercy. God of refuge, be with all nations suffering the violence and hunger of war. We pray for exiles and refugees. Lead them home in peace and bless them with your fullness. We also pray for all who suffer sorrow, illness, or injury, especially those we name before you now. Bring them justice, healing, and new life by the power of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. God of unity, we pray for this congregation and its leaders. Through our shared work, let your word be among us and bring life to the community beyond our doors. We especially pray for the Grace Works ministry and all who will participate in it this coming week. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Merciful God, you open wide your hands and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
He was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.